For this year's Where We Live Festival, actor and playwright Janet Warren brings Looking for America to the stage. It's a true story documenting her partner Federico Julian Gonzalez's past life, in which he and his family had to flee El Salvador's civil war when he was just 5 years old. And this led to his journey to Ireland via Cuba. With me in studio now, Janet Warren and Federico Julian Gonzalez. Let's start with the point at which you said to Federico, Janet, do you know what? You know that story of yours about, first of all, fleeing the civil war in El Salvador in the mid-70s and then mm-hmm. going to Cuba? Why don't we put that on stage?
Yeah, well, I'd had a few glasses of rum, so that was probably one of the things. But he'd gone on this epic journey. We were in Havana last summer with my family and his mum. And on one of the last nights, he'll tell you about it, but he'd gone on this epic journey to find this woman, America, who was a guerrilla fighter who fought with his uncle. And he came back and I'd been sitting with the family drinking rum on the roof. And he's telling us this story. And obviously, he's been telling me different things over the last years. And I just thought, what an extraordinary journey that is. Mm. What an amazing story that would be to tell. And he'd been writing stuff about his life for the kids. But I immediately thought of this is Pop Babies Festival, Where We Live, because the whole theme of that is home and the nature of home and how that can mean to different people. So I kind of pitched it to him there. He was kind of interested. He was interested in writing it, wasn't so interested in performing it. But yeah, luckily I've good access to him, so I wore him down.
So you, suddenly overnight you became an actor without performing in your own, the story of your own life, Federico. Yeah. I suppose what to kind of get some kind of handle on, the play is called Looking for America, and America isn't mm-hmm. the country, it's this woman. So we need to get a handle on where this woman even started to be part of your life. The first, maybe was it 7 or 8 years of your life were spent in El Salvador, just in the 70s, coming into the 80s, when the rise of the left wing was, I suppose, was heading towards what would become the civil war. What are your memories of that time? You were very young, obviously.
Yeah, well, I was born in 1973, so the war hadn't fully started. There was a left wing movement in the 70s in El Salvador too. So basically, in opposition to the type of society that was emerging in El Salvador through military juntas and stuff like that. My family got involved in, my parents were student union activists in the 60s, but they became doctors, GPs, moved out of the capital. And but, you know, when they say sometimes trouble finds you. And, you know, my dad, as a doctor, looked after a wounded guerrilla. Got him hospitalized, didn't report it to the police. And that meant he was put in jail for 2 years with no trial, no nothing. When he came out, it wasn't the safest place in Salvador for us. Yeah.
But what's interesting with that GP aspect of your father's story is taking care of a gorilla got him into trouble. Mm-hmm. What got him out of trouble in some ways? Because he was kind of disappeared, effectively, he was reappeared.
My grandmother, my father's mother, happened to know the mother of an ex-president. And that's how he reappeared. After 2 weeks of being arrested, he reappeared. But over the 2 years that he was in prison, there was no trial for him. He wasn't trialed at all. Mm. Just after 2 years, the prosecutor was changed. And the new prosecutor said, well, this man needs to pay a fine not to be in prison for a
time. Did he take care of, or did I get this wrong? Did he take care of somebody in prison, which kind of helped his case? Yeah.
Well, in those years, like in this case, this type of issue was seen as a crime. So my dad was in an ordinary prison. But he actually, one day, apparently, the governor of the prison wasn't feeling well. My father discovered, well, his man has appendicitis. He had to be taken to hospital immediately and basically saved his life. That meant he was allowed to have a cell for himself with an internal window and doors. And there's pictures that Janet have seen in my family album of us in my dad's cell there with his books.
The Sunday business. Sunday and in part, the way that you're telling the story, Janet, is almost what Federico has done there. He tells the tales and we see the family photographs of the various places along the way.
Yeah, we have the wonderful Ivan Berthistle is doing AV design and he's going to put up the audiovisual and stuff. And we have some amazing footage of Federico. Fetty's dad in the jungle listening to this female guerrilla leader. And as Fetty was saying, it's the only time he's ever seen his father take orders from a woman. But he's sitting there smoking in the jungle. So we have a lot of that kind of footage and different photographs. And so that'll all be part of telling the story and trying to put it in context as well, because it's such an extraordinary sprawling story.
The part of the sprawl is the move to Cuba. And as you said, Federico, obviously, as time went on in the 1970s, your uncle Dennis was involved in the guerrilla movement. There were friends of your family involved in the guerrilla movement. Your parents, maybe there were question marks over what they were or were not involved in. So getting out of El Salvador was the only choice. Move to Cuba, where you really came across what a group of people were living in. What was it? The Little Hotel?
Yes. We actually, from El Salvador, we ended up in Venezuela.
Then
Costa Rica, then Nicaragua, then Cuba. And in Cuba, when we arrived, we were placed in this small hotel in Havana, where the Cuban government basically housed people in our situation, political exiles, for a while until we found, they find you a better, more permanent place to live. This was in a very leafy area in Havana, in Miramar, where all the embassies are. And there was a mad collection of people from all over Latin America.
Most of them fleeing military dictatorships
all
and
of them.
That they type were, of thing.
You know, Colombian journalists and
Chilean.
Chileans, in fact. And, there was my accent in Spanish is actually a bit of a mix of so many different Latin American accents, because I grew up with children who spoke Chilean or with an Uruguayan accent or Argentinian accent.
You were there from the age of about 8 or 9 to 19, 20 type of thing.
Yeah.
81 through to 92.
Yeah. I grew up in Havana in an area that was populated by political exiles like me and Cuban families. It was just a housing system they had in Cuba that basically allowed us to live in normal Cuban communities. But
where does Uncle Dennis fit into this story?
Uncle Dennis was the youngest of my brother's siblings.
Of your father's siblings,
My father, my father's siblings. And he was from the early 70s. He was always interested in justice, political justice. My grandfather, his father, was the son of Palestinians that emigrated to El Salvador in the early 20th century. So basically, Dennis' father, my grandfather, never really got involved in politics. He stayed well away from it. But Dennis didn't. Dennis was a young idealist man, very handsome, very tall, I've been told, well, according to the photographs he was. And he got involved in the initial phase of the revolutionary resistance, the left-wing resistance to military junta and coup d'etats and military presidents we had. In that period, he made many friends, one of which ends up in Cuba many years later, who knew my mother as well. They become very good friends in the 60s, but then they meet again in the 80s, and her name was America, actually, Nom de Guerra is America. And that's why last summer when we were in Havana with Janet and my mother and my children and Janet's parents, one evening I said to my mom, let's go and visit all the houses where we lived in Havana, the many different places we did move a lot. Let's find a few friends. And at the end of the night, let's find America.
And let us not say whether you find America or not, because that is part of the I suppose, the story of the play is whether you get to the place that helps you find America. I'm wondering about, I don't know what, you can answer this as well, but maybe you answer it for me, Janet, since you're there. How much acting experience had Federico got before you told him, not only am I going to put this on stage, but you're going to be Federico?
None is the short answer. He's had none, but he's absolutely fearless in every area of his life, and he's no problem talking. He never stops talking. So I guess we're not really calling it a play as such.
Right.
It's like
performance
lecture, we're tentatively calling it.
Right.
So I think we started rehearsals today. He's got a really good script written, and we're just focusing on being clear and active, and but I mean, essentially, it's just you just got to be a good storyteller, and he is that.
Yeah, is the oral tradition as important in El Salvador or in your life in Cuba or Nicaragua or Venezuela or all of those places? Was that oral storytelling tradition important in your family?
Well, I always said my father's from the countryside, and every time we went to any funerals in the countryside where he went, my father could keep an audience laughing for 2 hours. Non-stop. But no, I think this is because I always thought of writing this sort of memoirs for my children. And my children have been bombarded with these stories all their teenage life. They're actually, they ask me, Would you write this down? And I've asked my mother.
Stop telling us. Write it down.
And I got my mother to write hers a bit as well. Right. So, so I am very familiar with the story. I actually lived it. But also, it's weird to see sometimes your own life when you actually put it on black and white type.
Becomes something else, probably.
And that's something, for example, that we discovered when we were writing this. So I was writing and she was giving it shape. Jana has given it shape and more. Yeah. All this traveling I did when I was a child, I was never told I was a refugee. That word didn't exist. We were political exiles.
Yeah.
We were exiles. But we discovered it in my later years that I had been a refugee.
So there you go. And that may be the case for many refugees listening to this programme tonight even. Where We Live Festival is where you will see this lecture.
Performance
lecture. Yeah. Looking for America is the title that you will be looking for there. It's at the Project Arts Centre, Saturday the 14th March, as part of the Where We Live Festival, presented with the St. Patrick's Festival. And you can find out more information on this is popbaby.ie. Janet Morn and Federico Julian Gonzalez with me there.